Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome back, and I've been looking forward to talking to Drew Thomas Allen. He's the author of a fascinating book called The Americans, America, Last Stand, Will You Vote to Save or Destroy America in 2024? He's also the vice president of client development for a Publis PR firm, and he's a busy guy. He does want to check out the book, and that is called The Last Stand, America's Last Stand, and Will You Vote to Save or Destroy America in 2024? And he does have a website. And what's your address to your website there, Drew?
Yeah, it's drewallen.substack.com.
Okay, I didn't have that here. All right, drewallen.substack.com. All right, how are you? Where are you? Oh, good to see you again. I've seen you before.
I know, my friend Perry. Well, look, you know, it's kind of fun. I just got back from CPAC on Sunday night, so I was out there. I went as, Publius Drew, the publicist. So it was exciting. I had not been to a CPAC before, so I was able to see it with kind of clean, fresh eyes. There was a little, look, you know, you might have heard a little things about how CPAC, the attendance was down a little bit, you know, from people who were experienced attendees, but I had a wonderful experience, and I was able to hear Trump speak for the first time in person. So believe it or not, despite, you know, representing all these people, whether it was Carrie Lake or Peter Navarro, I had never actually heard Trump speak in person, and it was a transformative experience for me, Perry.
Good. I mean, we heard him last Thursday. A week ago today, he spoke to the NRB, and I was there, and he spoke live to us there. So he's making the rounds. I don't know when the guy sleeps, but he makes the rounds. So there's a lot of things came out of that. Obviously, Trump wins the straw poll, but there was kind of an interesting time when they talked about his potential VP. What'd you think of that?
Well, it's interesting. I like the short list. I really do. Tulsi Gabbard was on there as well. She spoke at CPAC. I was actually escorting her to a couple of interviews. And I will make this observation about Tulsi. I mean, she is a natural. And I don't mean, you know, politician in the negative sense of it. She just kind of has that it factor. She's just so at ease, the way she interacts with people, the way she's able to speak. Maybe it's because she's from Hawaii. You know, she's able to take these things and talk about them in a way that's very palatable to the American people. But no, I my kind of takeaway was I look at the left and the media wants us to believe that we can't possibly win, that Trump's such a bad candidate, of course. But we have great people. And I think that we should be very optimistic and we should be very happy with the patriots that are on our side stepping up to meet the battle that we face right now in American history. So I feel very confident.
There's something else that's happening out there, Drew, and that is that not only is former President Trump winning these primaries with significant percentages, but the amount of people on the right turning out the vote, those numbers are way up. I mean, we have more people voting in these primaries from the Republican side than we've seen before. What does that tell you?
Well, it confirms what we should believe based on experience, our gut, what's happening in this country. There's very little enthusiasm for Joe Biden. This Democrat Party has absolutely devastated this country in ways that we could not have fathomed just a little less than 4 years ago. And look, every election, it's always about voter turnout, right? So enthusiasm, you want to generate enthusiasm. And I think that all of that is going our way. It's hard to fathom that Americans could show up excited to vote for the continued annihilation of the United States of America. And I just don't see that happening.
What do you see by titling your book The Last Stand? What do you see?
Well, look, it was funny. I wish I'd put one in Trump's hand to hold up at CPAC when he spoke, because he said that, you know, look, if I don't win, basically we're going to lose the country. And that's the premise of my book. And I had a little bit more foresight, I guess, because I was writing it last year while a lot of people were still waiting. Well, maybe Trump won't be the nominee. Maybe this will happen. But it's very true. This is a situation in America And I don't mean to scare people, but maybe we should be a little bit scared so that we take action. But, you know, this is not a election, in my opinion. It's a revolution. And it's about the American people deciding whether or not, just like we did in 1776, except we have the ability to vote to take back our destiny. What is the role of government? Are we going to basically admit and acknowledge that we aren't capable of making decisions for ourselves, that the government has to do for us what we can't do for ourselves? Or are we going to take back our destiny, talk about our own nation's sovereignty and our independence, and say, no, the government needs to go back into its role, constitutional role, and leave us alone? We, the people, are the master in this country, not you politicians and career bureaucrats that are stealing us blind and spending that money. So that's the decision we face. We're going to take back the country and restore it, or are we going to just become a, you know, third world country in tyranny like everything that preceded the United States of America before?
We, in our lifetime, I realize this isn't totally historic. It's only never happened before. It has happened early on. But in our lifetime, we've never seen two incumbent presidents on the ballot. We now, as Americans, have lived under one of the incumbents, and we've lived under the other. And the ideology and the philosophy and their agendas are totally different. We've never been faced with such opposing views. And they're both led by people that nobody likes. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, look, it's definitely an interesting time, right? I mean, yeah. You know, on the one hand, just kind of objectively, without any even subjectivity about personality or this and that or what the media has told us, you know, our direct experience. I mean, you know, I beg people in the book to ask themselves the question, you know, were you better off under Biden than you were under Trump? I mean, really, that should be the gold standard in really any election like this, but certainly this one, because you've lived under Trump and Biden. And we know objectively that, I mean, there's not a single metric that you could use to measure that would dictate that we are better off under Biden than Trump. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, right now, you know, MAGA is huge and Trump is certainly the de facto leader of the Republican Party. And look, I mean, after these 4 years, though, there won't be Trump per se. So, you know, we need to also look ahead. We need to ground ourselves heavily and entrench ourselves in the principles and America first and what that really means, because, you know, politicians come and go, but the ideals of America continue. And those, of course, get embodied in the people that hopefully step up for the good of the country to lead these movements.
OK, so that comes down to some people say President Trump, if he's reelected, goes in as a lame duck. I don't see that. I see him going in as a bulldog. And the selection of a vice president is going to be absolutely critical if his legacy is going to have any kind of a life after he leaves office. So we're back to the vice president thing again. He doesn't need really to pick somebody to win because he's already got a history of doing the right thing. But he has to pick somebody that can continue it. Does that narrow the field down?
Yeah, it does. Look, he needs to pick almost an heir apparent. You know, this VP pick needs to be somebody who can step in and be president. We don't need a situation like, I mean, look, you know, people talk about personnel decisions, and it's amazing because Abraham Lincoln, right, arguably the greatest president in American history, many would say, and, you know, he dumped his Republican vice president after his first term and went with a Democrat to try and unite the country. And of course, he was assassinated. And, you know, it set the country back because we had somebody in there that wasn't ideologically in line with Lincoln and the Republican Party. And so with Trump, it's not just, you know, concerns about his health, because right now he seems great. You know, let's hope and pray that everything's good. And, you know, he's able to serve a strong second term here. But, you know, whoever that vice president is, and I think most of the people on that list would serve the purpose. You know, not only do they need to be able to step in and be a bulldog like he needs to be, but they need to be somebody who could potentially, you know, obviously run for election after him and give us another eight years. I mean, that's what we're talking about, because we're not going to fix all of America's problems in 4 years. You know, we can make a dent and start to turn the country around, but this is going to take a lot longer than that, right?
Yeah, a whole lot longer. So anyway, everything seems to be going in his direction. Do you Well, let me back up. I had a chance to talk to former Senator Rick Santorum at the NRB last week, and then he came out with a statement on the media yesterday. It was pretty interesting. And that is the Democrats are stuck with Biden, whether they like it or not. They're stuck with President Biden. Why? Because he has delegates, and he's the only one that can release those delegates. And there's nobody on the primary scene running against him. So they're kind of stuck with him right up through the convention. Now, there's always just rumors about the convention. They can switch. They can do this. They can do all those things. But at the end of the day, he has to say, all right, I'm releasing my delegates. Do you think that's going to happen?
Man, this is tough because I don't really see that happening. I really have pushed back on this for a long time. It's not the conventional wisdom. Everybody, and it's entertaining, and I understand the speculation. A lot of people think, oh, you know, Michelle Obama or, you know, the governor of, right, of California here, they're going to sub him in at the last minute. See, we're thinking like sane, rational people, like, how could you run this person? But really, the Biden that they're running right now is the same one we saw in 2020. He's a little bit even more diminished, but he wasn't showing up, and we knew he had issues back then. You see, it's the people that are running this administration that aren't named Joe Biden who really want him to be the nominee. You know, there's other factors at play that we don't understand as the layperson thinks, how could you run this guy? He's not popular and so on and so forth. But he is still their plan A and plan B. And look how much devastation they've been able to wreak on the country using this guy, Joe Biden, because here's what happens. There's no accountability. And the American people, we all have to admit that he's not capable. And so we can't get accountability because that which we want and need and desire, we know we can't have. I mean, it's like this perfect thing where you're just in this black hole when you speak into it, and it's Joe Biden. He's not at home.
Yeah, I mean, even the courts are recognizing that he's incapable, so we shouldn't prosecute him. What do you do with this?
What do you do with this? Well, and then you got Kamala, who was like the most brilliant VP pick ever, an insurance policy to make sure that nobody would challenge Biden because the only thing they would want less is her. So it was really brilliant on their part.
Okay, let me take a quick break. Check out Drew's new book. It's called America's Last Stand. Will you vote to save or destroy America in 2024? There's a picture of the cover of the book on the screen. Where can they get it? Online?
Yeah, Amazon.com is the best place.
All right, we'll be right back.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview, plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
Okay, welcome back, and honored to have back with us Drew Thomas Allen. He's the author of a fascinating book called America's Last Stand. Will you vote to save or destroy America in 2024? That's a big question. He just returned. He was at CPAC, so he has some firsthand experience with that. He does have a website, drewallen.substack.com. You can check that out. Drew, before I get totally off where we are, what do you think's going on with Nikki Haley?
Well, Nikki Haley's purpose is to obviously harm Trump's chances at re-election. So, you know, the same way RFK Jr. is trying to get a ballot access in states, there's a possibility that, you know, a third party is trying to put her on the ballot in states as well, to create a situation in which, you know, maybe she could take votes away from Donald Trump to assist and facilitate Joe Biden's reelection instead. But look, she's funded by Democrats. She'll stay in there. I mean, there's no reason to stay in there. She's not going to be the Republican nominee. So obviously, she's not in there to become the Republican nominee. She's in there for other purposes. And if you look at the money behind her, it's the establishment. It's Democrat money. And so really, that's where they're headed with this, is I think that they really, because think of, I mean, we know that the establishment, it's not just Democrats. It's the people that have been running Washington, D.C., regardless of who is in charge, who is in the Oval Office, if you will. And so they hate Donald Trump because he threatens the grift. Washington, D.C. is a grift. I just hope people understand that, you know, like so that's part of their plan. I mean, they're doing everything they can to try and prevent him from winning in 2024. And this is just an addition, an addendum, you know, to the strategy.
Do you think she realizes if she continues to be used like that, her political future and career is done, or does she kind of snap out of it in a couple of weeks and turn around and endorse him?
No, she doesn't care, because for a lot of these people, you know, I mean, what does a career mean? I mean, is it taking money from, different government entities or think tanks or whatever else? I mean, her political career is certainly finished. It's absolutely done. I mean, there's nothing she's going to run for. I mean, unless Joe Biden, were to win or something like that and appoint her to a position in his administration. But it's not about that. I mean, these people aren't as long-sighted as you and I might think. And when you're corrupt already, and that's the reality for these people, I mean, they're just looking for the paycheck. They're very, very much controlled. And so she's not making decisions necessarily in her best interest. She's doing what she's being commanded to do. And that's not a conspiracy theory. That's just human nature.
Yeah. I mean, I you can see the effects of that. And it has a lot to do with people who support her campaign. But yet some big donors have now stepped back. So I don't know how she makes it through Super Tuesday. She may have enough money to appear, but I can't help but think there's much money after that.
Well, look, that's the only thing keeping her in. And you're exactly right. Donors have pulled back and said, we're not writing any more checks. So as soon as that money dries up, she'll drop out. I mean, DeSantis made a more calculated decision based on his political future, but it's the same situation. He might have stayed in longer had the money continued to flow in and allow him to stay in. But when the money's gone, I mean, you can't stay in.
Another factor in this election cycle, do you think that the faith community hangs in with Donald Trump?
Well, they better. They better. And I think it's actually a responsibility for the faith community, Christians like myself, to encourage people to make that support known. There's a lot of kind of bogus reasons that people invent in the faith-based community not to support Trump. Like, he's not a perfect person. You know, I look in the mirror. I don't go to church because I'm perfect. I go to church because I'm totally imperfect. And we have this strange double standard as well. I mean, at the end of the day, Perry, I mean, I've got a young daughter. She's nearly 1 year old. I want somebody who's going to make decisions that's going to lead this country, that's going to give my daughter opportunity in her future, that's going to restore American values here at home. So, look, this idea that I can't vote for Trump because he had an affair in the past or this and that, I mean, to me, that's absolutely absurd, and it's fundamentally not a Christian decision, if you will. And I'm not here to lecture Christians in America, but honestly, Christians have contributed to the demise of America because, look, we have so many quote-unquote woke churches. We have so many churches that are not Bible-based, and we believe this kind of bastardized version of Christianity, which is to say that Jesus was tolerant, which says, oh, yes, when he sat with a prostitute, he told her, yes, go and collect more money doing your job because I'm open-minded, and you should be able to do what you want. No, he called out sin, and frankly, Jesus made people very, very uncomfortable, and he offended people because, obviously, his kingdom and what he demanded does not always go together with what this secular world tells us we must desire and do. And so actually, I think it's Christians' responsibility to be uncomfortable, to challenge people, and yes, even to support Trump in this election.
You know, it was kind of interesting, Drew, one of the largest responses that he got at the NRB last Thursday in his speech was at the end, he said, remember, you're electing a president, not a preacher.
He does get it. He has self-awareness. Doesn't it like impress you though sometimes when you actually hear him say that stuff?
Well, a lot of people have lectured me using that line, but to hear it come from him was kind of funny. It was, you know.
Well, I would say this about being in the room with the speech. I said he was so funny. He went off teleprompter for most of the speech, and we were mm-hmm. laughing hysterically. But I think if you took somebody who wasn't just a Marxist who ideologically wanted to destroy America, and you put them in that room, most of the things they've been told and their hatred for Trump would fall away, because I have not been more entertained in a long time. And he's a human being, and you get a sense of that, and he loves America.
Yeah. I want to come to the primary season that we're in now. Here in Oregon, our primary is late. It's in May. And people are now starting to scramble to register to vote. A lot of Democrats and a lot of Republicans have registered independent or non-affiliate because they got sick and tired of their parties. And going into a primary season, they may get an empty ballot and they get kind of ticked off about that because, you know, they want to vote for somebody they can't because they re-registered as an independent or a non-affiliate. What's your message to that?
Well, I mean, if they would have time, I mean, obviously, it would be smart for them to actually pick a party and you know, pick a horse in the race. I mean, I get the sentiment behind that. It's unfortunate, though. I mean, I don't know. I mean, in some ways, I understand why states have that system in place, but don't you think we're not going to get really a realistic read from you know, Oregon, certainly, for example, about, you know, what the sentiment is on the ground, right? I mean.
No, I mean, we're so blue we glow. But the point being is that people are frustrated, and my message to them is find out the candidate that you like that you want to vote for, and make sure you're registered with the party that they represent. Otherwise, you're going to get an empty ballot, and your candidate won't make it through the primary. It's pretty simple.
Well, yeah, look, you have to work with the system that you have. I mean, what good does it do to impact the country if you don't have any options to select? But, I mean, look, I really do relate to those people because what I see with Trump right now and what I see with the country, you know, relating it to 1776 and the decision we face, I mean, he's talking about how we're the party of common sense. I mean, we have to move beyond factionalism. That's really destroying the country. And it's about what's best for America and the American people. And that message transcends politics. And when George Washington was elected, there were not two parties. He warned against factionalism. So I think the message, if we want to win going forward, yes, we have a two-party system, but the Republican Party has to start to talk in terms of, hey, we're the American party. We have this two-party system, but forget this. You know, our allegiance is to America, not to party.
All right. So what's the final admonition you want people to get from your book?
Well, I think that I want them, I need them to understand the urgency of the situation. For a long time, I was concerned that people wouldn't actually accept and acknowledge the gravity of what's at stake for the country in 2024 with this election, that, oh, whatever, you know, America will go on. It will not. When I heard Trump basically say it's America's last stand up there, I said, hallelujah. People get it, how serious this is. We're going to lose the country if we don't reelect Trump in 2024. So that's one. You have to accept the gravity of the situation so that you can make decisions and move forward. And then I want people to get excited about them living during this period of hardship in America. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but I'm so grateful. Like, Perry, I mean, you encourage me. Other people encourage me. I say, Thank God, literally, that we're the ones that are alive right now because we're the patriots of 2024. We get to save the nation. We get to be a part of history right now and do our duty and responsibility. And I'm up for that.
Yeah, I think there's a sense going on here. I mean, as I said earlier, I think people are waking up to the fact that we've never in our lifetime been faced with two incumbent presidents that have represented two different ways for America to go. And that could be why God allowed President Biden to become president, so we could see the conflict here and what's really at stake. And I'm wondering, you know, the Democrats do a good job of blaming you for what they're doing. I mean, they're excellent at it. But really what's at stake here is the soul of our country. And I'm wondering if we see this.
I hope so. And for the faith-based audience, right, I mean, this is a spiritual battle. It's and Christians should understand this, especially. This isn't just about Republican Democrat. It's not just. It is about spirituality, actual evil in this world that we have to agree exists. And I hope this is a wake up call for Christians because this is what happens to your country when you buy into this watered down version of Christianity that tells you to just accept whatever's happening because that's what Jesus wants you to do. That's absolutely not the case. Christians are called to go forth and make disciples of all nations. It's about activism. And being an American is also about being an activist. You know, this is a republic if you can keep it, if we can keep it, not the politicians, not Trump. We have to be active in the community and take back the country, just like, you know, we have to go forth and be confident about our spirituality, our beliefs and faith and talk about those things.
Yeah, and you mentioned something there that's really interesting because evil has been disguised as just opposite politics. but we are literally facing evil. I wonder if we see this.
Yeah, I think, I've been trying to explain that to people for a long time, that it is evil what the left is doing to this country, whether it's the gender theory and, you know, telling little Johnny, who's, you know, 12 years old, he should go and have an operation, taking the kid away from the parent if the parents want to intervene and actually be parents and say, no, I don't want you going on hormone therapy, whether it's critical race theory, division, whether, I mean, everything biblical that we're taught. I mean, the Democrat Party is basically saying, okay. I mean, they're taking the message of the devil himself, and they're putting that on the country. So, you know, we should be aware of that. And I think if we understand that, especially people who have a faith-based background, go to church, et cetera, we would have a lot of success in taking back the country, because this country is still a majority Christian nation.
All right. Well, Drew, good to see you, buddy. It's been a while, so good to see you. And congratulations on your daughter. How's the podcast going? Where can they get it?
It's good. The Drew Allen Show, it's available anywhere you listen to podcasts. And actually, starting on Saturday, I'm doing a show on Patriot TV, which is kind of a new network that's moving forward. The General Flynn's on the board. So more on that, too, soon.
What network is it?
It's called Patriot TV.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good to see you. Check out his book. It's called America's Last Stand. Will You Vote to Save or Destroy America in the 2024 election cycle? God bless you, friend. Good to see you. Stay in touch.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.